Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
I love you. Happy February 1st. Happy love, first day of the love month. First day, happy Monday. Every Monday is a Polished Woman Day. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching us. Today is a special day. And I'm so happy to have, you know, to talk about this because I'm really not familiar with it. I'm not educated about it. So I feel like, you know, people like me, immigrants, and the people who are actually watching outside of the United States will learn. I hope you guys will learn. Ladies will learn from
this. Yes. Well, hey, yeah. Jeff.
Hey. Oh, gosh, Max, you lost weight. I love it.
Yes. I'm doing Noom. Hi, everyone. I'm Jessica's executive producer, yeah. Max Tucci. I'm rarely on camera, but we decided, you know what? Rolanda Watts once said, if they can't see you, then they can't hear you.
Oh, my God.
She wants me to be seen. So I'm only going to be on for a portion. But, you know, again, I welcome Jessica Rodriguez-Bunovac, award-winning host of Black History Month.
Yeah.
I heard the concern in your voice.
Yes.
Because you're an immigrant to this country. You don't have Black History Month in Philippines. And you were like, Max, I really want to learn about Black History Month. Yeah. And what does it really mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a sensitive subject to so many people.
Yes, because I don't want to hurt anybody. You know?
And how to navigate through it, I think, is even more of, you know, what people want to know.
Yeah.
So what I know is that Jessica has a global platform. The Polished Woman is a global show. We're on every single podcasting platform. We've won Telly Awards, Davy Awards, Communication Awards, W3 Awards. We've won them all.
Yeah.
And the reason is because when Jessica learns, her listeners learn.
Yes.
So I know that the Philippines, you educated me, Jessica, by telling me in the Philippines, there is really no such thing as race. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that so your listeners know?
Well, you know, in the country, when I moved here, that's when I learned about the word racist, like racism. We don't have that because if you're a foreigner and you come to our country, no matter what color you are, you're like a king. You're like, oh my gosh, this is someone not from here. So we like adore you. We, you know, we're very hospitable. In the Philippines, it's more of like the classism. You know, like the higher
socialism. Yeah.
The socialism. It's more of like the higher class are like all together. And then when you're like in the lower class, that's the story of my father and my mom. My mom was like in a lower class. And then my father was this like socialite, you know, Spanish, you know, in the Philippines. So they don't want my dad to fall for my mom. So
I learned that from you. I learned that social separation and social class in the Philippines is huge. It's like if you have money, then you're in everything.
Yes.
And if you don't, then you're like the girl from the mountain, the other side of the mountain.
Yes, yeah.
It blew my mind. It blew my mind.
It's crazy. Like, okay, in the Philippines, my friends were shocked about this. It's like in the Philippines, if you swim, it means you're on the poor side because you swim in the river. And if you don't know how to swim, you're rich. It's weird. Like, it's so crazy.
But one thing that I really found interesting, again, like you said, with the Philippines is race and how they're really, you welcome every culture, everybody, every color, race, and creed. And I found that so interesting. Yeah. So naturally for you, it was when you came to this country, what is Black History Month? And we've been doing this show for 3 years. And I know we've done shows about it. But you still didn't have clarity on what Black History Month is. So today's guest, Dr. Booker, is an amazing guest.
Oh my gosh.
I know you've got so much to say about her.
Yeah.
So Jess, Dr. Booker, and Brianna, you are going to have an amazing show today.
Yes.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm going to go to the control room.
Thank you.
Get this show going. So Jess, have a great show. And happy Black History Month.
Yes, thank you so much. I love you. I want this, since we're talking about the Black History Month, of course, the person who made this happen was Martin Luther King Jr. We are not makers of history. We are made by history. Isn't it crazy? This is like a good quote. So today I am joined by the remarkable Dr. Naomi Johnson Booker, founder and CEO of Global Academies and the co-founder of the African American Charter School Commissions. And later on, we are going to have one of our students, Brianna, who actually got a scholarship and who is now, Brianna Thomas, who has had a scholarship from her school, of one of her charter school, and then who is now an alumni and became successful as well. So I really want to talk about, you know, get educated and really want to talk about the excellence and, you know, the achievements that the whole Black History Month did to everyone. So hello, Dr. Naomi Johnson Booker. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Booker, thank you so much. Welcome to the Polish Woman. Thank you so much.
Oh, you
look at that. Isn't she a Polish woman? I love her. Look at her. So beautiful, so polished. And this, whatever, and you're very vibrant. You, whatever you did to, you know, to this country, you know, shared. Yeah, we thank you. Thank you so much. I read your whole history. She walked with Dr. Martin Luther King as well, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us your story, a little bit about you before? Yeah. Yeah. Your genesis of Dr. Booker. Tell us about yourself first before we continue to our topic.
Oh, wow. So first of all, I'm in the middle of a snowstorm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you so much. For having me on. I'm so excited. Yeah. Yes, I went to college in Atlanta, Georgia at the time of the civil rights movement. And so there was a time when I was doing sit-ins and walking with Dr. King and some of the other leaders at the time. We were 17 years old and I was learning about what it was to be really Black in America, because in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. it wasn't the same. And I walked with John Lewis. And so they were in the training that we had as young ones. We were being taught how to be nonviolent. And so that's where it was when I was in Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's where I kind of learned what is really important about being Black in America. And so that's where I started with who I am. I am a... we serve 1,300 scholars, urban scholars in Philadelphia. I've been in education for, I'll say a number of years. I was a recent principal and superintendent of a area superintendent in the school district of Philadelphia. And education for the last 50 years of my life has been very important to me to be able to do what I think is the best thing for children and scholars who are going to be our future leaders of the world.
Wow.
I have three daughters. And I have one of them in Los Angeles one in Minneapolis and one in Atlanta. And I'm very proud of them and my two grandchildren. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Dr. Booker, okay, I wanna go to our topic right away. Define Black History Month. You have been designated as a Black History Month expert. So what exactly does this mean? And how many other experts are there, and what your official duties in this role?
Well, first of all, we are all experts in what Black history means. And it started as a way of remembering important people and important events in the history of African Americans and the diaspora. It's celebrated in February in America, in Canada, and in Ireland, and in the Netherlands. Right. And then it's also celebrated in England in October. So
Is it different month?
I don't know why England does it a different month, but on our side of the ocean, it's February. It is the shortest day of the month, shortest month of the year, I mean. I don't think that it should be in just one month, but that's where it has become, using that month to celebrate us as a people, to celebrate our history, to celebrate who we are, so that our young people can know who they are, where they came from, and how they can move on with their lives. And it started in 1976. It became a national month that President Gerald Ford was the president who signed the document and said, we're going to celebrate this every month. And so that's where we are today.
Wow. Well, Dr. Booker, what ways do you personally practice Black History Month as a way of life? Is it through your career or other, you know, other steps that you take as well? And how would you suggest that others do this in their own lives in a way that's meaningful and not just for social media?
So first of all, I'm very proud of being Black, African-American.
Yes.
That's who I am. Mm-hmm. And I want us as a people to be proud of who you are. And so because of that, we at our schools and throughout my life and with my own children, mm-hmm. I have learned from my travel coming back from the South, the deep South, back to the North, how I feel that I can portray this by living my life out loud and being able to say to people, this is who we are, and we are very proud of our history. We teach our children they come from kings and queens, not just on a slave boat, or from kings and queens. And so if you know that's who you are, and if you know that that's your history, you're going to be very, very proud of it. And that's part of what we do here at Global Leadership Academies.
Wow, that's so beautiful. It's so inspiring. Dr. Booker, can you just please tell our viewers about the global, you know, I want you to tell about exactly what is Global Academies and what is your primary goal?
So Global
Leadership, and your vision.
Yeah, Global Leadership Academies are schools K to 8 located in an urban area of West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is a school that is 99% African-American, and young people who are in situations that we are trying to help them move out of. And so for us, teaching them about who they are, teaching them how important they are, and helping to create what we call future leaders of the world. Global Leadership Academy 1, which is the West Campus, started in 2006. So we've been around, we're celebrating our 15th year. And then 5 years ago, I reopened another failing school in Philadelphia, and we call that school Global Leadership Academy Southwest. So this year we're celebrating 15 years at our flagship school and 5 years at our sister school.
Wow, congratulations. Well, I want to ask you this. We have a Twitter question, but I want to ask you this. Before founding Global Academies, you were active in the civil rights movement in the 1960s, marching with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
And learning under the late Congressman John Lewis. How did those experiences shape you and the career path that you chose?
So in my experience coming back from Atlanta, Georgia, and coming into a district that had been very white when I came here.
Yeah.
I ended up being in a place where I had children all around me, people around me, where I could educate them about the South. Because when you go from the North to the South, you have a different version of what the South is really like at that time. Now, we're talking about the 60s and 70s as well.
Yeah.
And so for me, it became very important. My children, and I had a third and fourth grade class, and helped my children understand about their history. And so I was teaching Pennsylvania history, and they gave me this little teeny black and white book, and I was supposed to teach that. And I went to my principal and I said, I can't teach this. I said, because this does not explain Pennsylvania to my third and fourth grade children. She told me to write a plan, which I did. And it started with me lining up, here's what the Quakers and the Pennsylvanians were doing at that time. But what were the African-Americans doing at that time? What were the Blacks doing at the time? Like I taught them who built the Ben Franklin Bridge, which is a bridge going from Philly into New Jersey. But then I needed them to know that the first person who took tolls on that bridge was a Black woman who walked 7 miles a day to get there. So they were learning the parallels. They were learning the importance of Black people in America in 1865, in 1900, because we were doing this together. And for me, because there were no history books at the time that told our story, I used Ebony Magazine and Jet Magazine and the Philadelphia Tribune as my history books. And so I created a course for doing this in my class. And then we would leave the classroom and travel to these places. I would travel to City Hall. They would travel down to where the flag, the Betsy Ross flag is. But at the same time, I also took them to the African American Episcopal Church, where they could hear the history of our Black folks in what we were doing in that time zone during in Philadelphia. That was part of my learning experience. So for me, I was a teacher who thought out of the box. And now I'm a leader who also thinks out of the box. So if we go back to what I just told you and back to global leadership, what we do now, we do the same thing. We have expanded it. Because when I left the district and got into the charter world, I was able to do things a lot differently. So my kids, my scholars have been to Africa. They've been to China. They do a civil rights tour every year. They go to Canada and they follow the Harriet Tubman Railroad up to Canada, because Canada is where we were free at that time. And then they also take a cruise ship and we go down to the Bahamas. We've been to Bahamas. We've been to Jamaica. We've been to Haiti. All of this trying to help them seek the knowledge of who our people were. Use that as a...
to motivate them. Wow, this is amazing. Wait, Dr. Booker, we have a question from Twitter from a Filipino. Is referring to a Black person racist? And is saying African-American racist? What if someone isn't African? Are they still considered African-American? Yeah, these are like good questions that, you know, most people who are not from here should know. Yeah.
Well, calling someone Black is not racist. Now, if you do it in a derogatory way, it's horrible. But that is, we are Black, and it's a capital B. All right. Calling someone African American is not racist. I'm part African and I live in America. Okay.
Yes.
Now, Africans, they want to be called Africans. And so it's their choice whether if they live in America that they want to say they are African American. But that's the difference. It's not racist to use those terms. There are other terms that are very racist that you don't want to use and in referring to Black or African-American people.
Oh, it's just like us, right, Max? It's just like us, because I'm Asian, so I call myself Asian-American.
American, right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Some people will call themselves Chinese-American, you know, not just Asian-American.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Booker, I have a quick question. I grew up with a woman, her name was Annie Jones, and she was a Black woman from down south, and she really had a huge influence on my life. And unfortunately, she passed away, so I wasn't able to really understand. She sent me a bunch of photos, and on the back of them, it says, the denim cape I wore with my own blood on it. What was the whole denim movement, and what were denim capes representing during the movement?
So I'm assuming, and because I wasn't there, but I'm assuming that during the time of the marches, we wore denim. When people were marching, when we were doing sit-ins, we wore jeans. They're not the jeans that you know of today. They more or less look like overalls. Some of them had bibs on the front of them, you know. So that's more than likely when she was marching during the time that she had on her jeans and some blood got on it, and that's what she...
What was the significance of denim? Because denim has become, with the lack of better words, whitewashed, right? So what really did denim mean?
So denim to me or to then was what Dr. King and the leaders wore as part of our work, our clothing that we wore when we were marching. And because certain things could happen to you. So it's not denim, the word denim. It was like overalls. We're working hard. We're reaching for freedom. And anything can happen. So you don't want to wear your dressy clothes. You want to be prepared for what you're doing.
Wow, I didn't know this. Max, thank you for asking. Wow.
If you go back and look at some of the pictures, you'll see a lot of people wearing denim and with maybe a red handkerchief. And again, the other thing too is that when we were on the, you know, they call it denim, but it was, denim is the new word. But when we were on the farms or whatever, that was the clothing that many people wore, especially men.
Wow, this is, wow, this is amazing. So Dr. Booker, it's been quoted to the media on a number of occasions that the global economy is contributing to this America's achievement gap and ending for its scholars to the mindset that has contributed to the core to the curse of intergenerational poverty that can be traced back to slavery. How do you support those assertions?
So let's just think about what intergenerational means. That means that poverty and ignorance of who you are is passing from the time that you were beaten as a slave. Farmers, right? So it's gone with us over time because we don't get the right resources. We are not treated the same, and so we are thought to be the bottom folks. Now, if you go through the time, you know, people are hanging you. Even today, you know, some of the things that are happening that just happened on January 6th is the result of some people who are not thinking about the rights of all. Okay, so we get to, how can we change that mindset? How can we change the trajectory of a family, of children? And we feel that we can do it through our children by giving them the exposure, giving them all of the experience that they need so that we can close what is traditionally now called this achievement gap. This achievement gap is not a gap that we put on ourselves. It is a gap that has been traveled over generations because we have not been able to get the right resources, even the right books, even going, you know, 100 years ago, we got the worst building to go to school in, while up the street was a beautiful white building for the white children to go in. You know, these are things that have gone over generation after generation. And now you find that young people today, based on, and you've seen it since the George Floyd situation, are breaking out. This, we're not accepting this anymore. We're tired of it. Yeah. And in my years, I am so happy to see that right now we are trying to redesign, re-enter, let people think of who we are, and we're not standing for it anymore. Yeah. And we're not going to go, we're in all levels of, we're one step away from the president of the United States.
I know. This is amazing. Good news. Yay. Now, because we had a black, an African-American president, right?
Yes. So we don't pass that one. And now we're another person to come, and she's a woman.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. A polished woman. Oh, she's amazing. She's so pretty. Okay. Now, speaking of your role as an educator, we are now going to be joined by one of your former students, Brianna Thomas, who graduated from Global Leadership Academies and is returning to the school as an HR specialist after completing her college. Oh my gosh. This is awesome. This is like a good news. Hey, Brianna. Yeah. Okay. Wait. Dr. Booker. While waiting for Rihanna, have you seen the John Lewis Good documentary, Good Trouble?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Good Trouble. And read his. His funeral. I sat here and just cried because I felt so much a part of it. I was at Dr. King's funeral. John Lewis's funeral, I had to watch, you know, on Zoom, but I couldn't get away from it because the man, he just meant so much to me and my life and who I am.
Oh my gosh. Ladies who are listening right now, you have to watch John Lewis. Good.
You have to watch it. Yes, you have.
Yeah. Welcome, Brianna Thomas. How are you? Thank you for coming to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, beautiful smile. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Before we get, you know, before I ask you your questions, how does Dr. Booker mean to you? Yeah.
How does she mean to me? She means, how do I even explain that? Dr. Booker has played like multiple roles in my life. So I don't even know where to start, but I guess to name a few, she's just mainly like my mentor, to say the least. Dr. Booker was my mentor, is my mentor. Yeah. She was a part of like supporting me through my entire journey, like from middle school, high school, and even college. Mm-hmm. And like even till this day, well, now since the pandemic, but before we used to go like on our lunch dates and everything, even in college and high school. She took me on a lunch date to make sure that I'm having my 5-year plan, making sure I'm staying on track, having those goals and everything. Like, she played a major role in my life, to say the least.
What does Dr. Booker mean in the community, if I may ask?
She's someone that a lot of people look up to. She's always doing something, always looking forward. What can I do next? What can I do next? And I think a lot of people look up to her and admire what she does for the community. She's always looking to better help other people and making sure that they're on the right track to success or to a good life.
Oh, that's so nice. So you were at Global Leadership Academies from kindergarten through 8th grade, right? How do you think that your experience there and your experience with Dr. Booker especially helped to shape your high school and college years?
Well, I think the school, GLA, is a very unique school. They really do focus on their scholars. And I feel like Dr. Booker and the rest of the team at GLA had like poured a lot into the scholars, including myself.
Yeah.
So I was like very shy and timid when I first came to Global. And then now here I am, outspoken, speaking my mind and going to college, first generation, you know, they poured into that and they helped me become who I am.
Oh, that's so cute. What is, for you, Brianna, what is your definition of the Black Month history? Black History Month.
What is my definition?
Yes, for you.
This is a time for us to embrace our culture, acknowledging everyone in our past, our ancestors and everything, and what they did for us. This is a time where we are just celebrating, even though it's every day where we're celebrating our culture, but we're really focusing this month on our history and how we where we are today and where we came from.
Okay, is Dr. Booker, what does Brianna mean to you?
Brianna represents all that we want to see one of our scholars come to. And we stay with our scholars. When they leave us in eighth grade, they are not leaving us. Yeah. We stay with them all the way through, as you can see. Yeah. I have two other staff people that are two other GLA graduates who work for us as well. And so we are very proud when we see them taking their steps. So that's what Brianna is. And so for me, being so close to her, I feel that connection. But also, I know that we had an impact on the others as well. So, you know, she is Black joy to me.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Wait, Brianna, did those experience and your love for Dr. Booker influence your decision to return to the school as a member of the staff after finishing college?
It's actually weird how I became employed at GLA. I was looking for the next step in my career, and Dr. Booker was doing one of her check-ins, and I just started venting, like, I'm looking to go into this department. All of that. And then she was like, you know what? We have an opportunity here if you'd like to come up, be a part of the team. So it was just perfect timing for me.
Wow, that's so good. Well, of course, you know, we discussed how Dr. Booker teaches the Black Month, the Black History Month. Is this something that should be practiced every day? Is this something that you've applied into your own life? And if so, how?
I feel like we should be practicing this every day. It's good for everyone to be aware of what's going on, our history, our culture, and everything. And I do feel like being a scholar at GLA has helped me become more aware of that, because they're always teaching their scholars, you know, about our history. So now I'm older and I'm still aware because of what I was learning when I was younger.
Dr. Booker, you have personally accomplished a great deal, but if you had to select one or two achievements that you have had as an educator, what would you say were the most meaningful to you and why?
So the last 15 years of my life mm-hmm. in the charter world has been the most meaning, most positive part of my professional life. I have touched children. Mm-hmm. I have touched staff, parents. Mm-hmm. Wow. And for me, that's who I am. That's what I want to do. I'm really hoping that God gives me enough time to be able to do all the things that I want to do going forward. Because seeing Brianna, and I can list the young people that now are going in from us in eighth grade, and my staff who started with me as a kindergarten teacher or a fifth grade teacher, and my fifth grade teacher that started with me when Brianna was in school is now principal of the school, one of the principals.
Wow.
So that has been so valuable for me to be able to help adults, young adults, and people see their best in what they're doing. So I live my life out loud, and I try to do that each and every day. And right now, I'm speaking out loud. So that's what I'm trying to do now. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to do it again.
Oh my God. Amen. Hey, Dr. Booker, what do you want? This is another Twitter question. What do you want your legacy to be? She should be, Max, before you answer, she should be like the Secretary of Education, right? Hey, Vice President Kamala Harris, President Joe Biden, I hope you're listening. What do you want your legacy to be, Dr. Booker?
Gosh, I think about that all the time, but I guess when somebody thinks of me down the road, I want you to know that I did what was right for children, that I was about doing the best for young people.
Our future.
I can't say anything else about me. Know that children, education, young people, scholars, we have to be their advocates. And I hope that I am continuing to be that as I have in the past.
This is amazing. Brianna, since you were a scholar, can you tell me a little bit about your story, about your life, if you don't mind? You know, take us there. Yeah, take us on your journey, how you ended up with Dr. Booker and being a scholar.
Well, I attended GLA when I was in fifth grade, actually. I transferred from another school in, and that was like a great experience transitioning into such a welcoming environment. Mm-hmm. After GLA, I went to high school Multicultural Academy, and after Multicultural Academy, I went to Hampton University in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Following college, I had a management position at in events at the Marriott in Baltimore, and now mm-hmm. here I am as an HR assistant at Global Leadership Academy.
Wow, this is amazing. Are you married or you're still very young to?
Nope, not married.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Not yet.
She looks so radiant. It's just like so
ladies, crazy. I'm watching you from the control room, and your smiles speak volumes that all and everything is possible.
Yeah.
You know, when you are doing what you love and what you really believe in, you have nothing but smiles. You know, the negativity comes by us, but I'm not letting all that stuff get on us. We are doing the right thing for these scholars. We are doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing for the staff. I try my best to make sure that they have an awesome working environment so that they can do what they need to do. And if that's my job. And if they can't have a good working environment, how can I expect them to do what's right for my babies? That's what I need to do. So, you know, we are celebrating. I have approximately 170 people that work under us mm-hmm. Between the two sites. I have two awesome principals, Ms. Evans and Ms. Tyler, who are awesome in their own right. And my legacy is that that global will continue through generations. That wow. while we're changing the trajectory of lives, which we are, because again, if you, she said that she was the first generation person to graduate from college in her family. Now, behind her, her sister's in college, and behind mm-hmm. her, you know, her little nephews and nieces and all this. When you change that intergenerational problem by helping young people understand how they can get out of that.
Yeah, well, let's segue to this one. I like this question that was sent to me. Dr. Booker, despite your accomplishments, you have said you have experienced systematic racism from the school district. Your city's newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, has published several articles about this problem. Can you please share your account on this?
So again, we've been talking about over this hour about Blacks yeah. and African-Americans and how we yes. have not been treated fairly. And that's what it is here in Philadelphia, that we are not being treated fairly. We are not getting the right funding. We are not getting mm-hmm. the right resources. Our schools are dilapidated. And some of the schools, not mine, because we built a brand mm-hmm. new school, but some of the schools are, you know, just not places that you should send children to. We are not getting the right nod from philanthropists in the charter world. And so the Inquirer, and they have, you know, they will set stories, the news people, about all that we're doing wrong. When in our city, 70,000 children are coming to charter schools in the city of Philadelphia out of 250,000 children. We must be doing something right. Because parents are making a school choice. Last week was school choice week. Parents make a choice. Every parent wants their child to do better than them. And so every parent wants what's best. So in Philadelphia, we had applied for a high school and we were not given the nod for the high school, not even considered. And of the expansion schools that they gave to all white schools. And I was the only African-American who applied for an expansion and I didn't get that. That's systemic racism to me. That's part of systemic wow. racism. There was nothing wrong with all that I've done in this city and my history and my experience. And I'm a transformational leader. I turned around four elementary schools from low performing mm-hmm. to high performing. So that's part of what I just started an organization called the African American Charter Schools Coalition, where several African American Blacks and Black CEOs have joined this organization to fight against this systemic racism.
There's a question from Twitter. What they're saying from the Philippines, can you define systemic racism?
So systemic racism is mm-hmm. There's systems that are in place that mm-hmm. are putting a people down. And because we are Blacks, wow. it's racist. So it's racist yeah. as somebody asked to be called out of your name. That's yeah. racist. You have a system, an educational system or a political system or a social services system that is not treating you fairly, that yeah. is systemic racism. It can happen to you because you're not here in America. Think yeah. about what the former president did with that wall, stopping people from coming through
yeah.
to the place where there's a big old statue in the middle yeah. of the New York Harbor that says, come here. This is supposed to be that free place.
Yeah.
But yet and still, that is racist. With Mexicans, why can they not come here if they yeah. want to find a better place?
Yeah.
So when you talk about and say, well, they're drug addicts and they are alcoholics and they're going to come here, that's racism. So I hope your caller got some information on what is systemic okay. racism.
Okay, there you go. I hope you got your answer. Okay, but this is also the time for whoever is listening. Maybe now is the time to donate, right?
Yes. Absolutely, because urban children. I'm looking for yeah. donors and people who will help my children travel because an average yeah. trip costs about $1,000 to $1,500 for them to go. My parents are on low income, so they have to really, we do all kinds of fundraising, but not enough for them to be able to pay travel. And I don't want any child to be left far behind. So Global Leadership Academy, www.glacharter.org. And you can go on there and you can donate and you can find out how to do that. But if you want to really be a donor and you got some money and you really want to support us, just put Dr. Naomi Johnson book in there, put you, you'll find me, send me an email or whatever, and I'll find you.
Okay, I think Max and I will send you an email. we want to support this. We want
Hey, Dr. Booker, you know what? I'm not going to send an email because I believe in planting a seed into your vision because I know that whatever you touch is going to grow into a beautiful fruit tree. And I want to be able to know that because I planted into your vision that the fruit that they take off of that tree is because I planted a seed. So I'm going to give you $250 right now. And we will match that. We'll work on matching that.
Yes.
But know that we'll give it to, I'm giving you $250 right now.
Thank you.
And I want to be able to plan into your vision. So
I'll
for those
send,
who
I'll send two, Max. I'll send two.
All right. So now you have $500. Oh, wow. So whoever's listening, this is Max. I'm Jessica's executive producer.
Yeah.
We just donated $500. Please match that. Whoever matches that, we put in $500. Let's match $500 so that we have that $1,000 that we need to send a child onto their journey.
Awesome. Send a child. Yes.
Let us help them. Yeah. Send a child. That's amazing.
We want to pave the path to send the child. I'm going to talk to you after because I'm raising and I just have children, on their path.
Oh, awesome.
I really want this to be the Polished Woman.
Jess, thank you for inspiring me. Continue the show.
Okay, let's go to you, Brianna. Oh my God, we're almost done with our show. Brianna, last one. What advice do you have for other young ladies of color who have big, have big dreams, but might not have had the opportunity to go to a unique school, like Dr. Booker's?
Well, I will say I was blessed and fortunate to be able to go to GLA. But for those who don't have that opportunity, I think it's all about who you know and who you encounter yourself with. Just networking, speaking to people who are, even people who may not seem like they may be able to help, but you never know who knows someone else. They can always point you in the right direction. They can always just help you along that line. They may be just, their advice may just be helpful. They may not be able to give anything and you may not need anything. You might just need someone to guide you with their words. So just networking and talking to people would be the best advice I can give right now.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Finally,
I just want to make sure I give my email address too. So I'll do that. So you guys have
that. Dr. Booker, do you have PayPal or Venmo?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is?
We should put it on our.
We will put it on. Take your time, Dr. Booker.
Yes, we will.
And then my personal email address is drbooker@ga-schools.org.
Wow, Dr. Booker, this is like a big, what you're doing is making a big difference. I love it. You are like the true polished woman. This is amazing. Okay, what is next for you though? What is next for you, Dr. Booker?
Well, right now, this pandemic is helping me finish my book. So my book should be published by the summer. I'm really planning on that. I want to do some more TED Talks and some more podcasts and try to raise as much money. I do have an endowment that I'm trying to raise for the school before I leave. It is $1 million endowment. So I'm trying to raise money so that our young people will be able to travel and families will be able to participate in the travel without, us having to pull money from their household. And with where it is right now, in the pandemic and people trying to get caught up, drbooker@ga-schools.org.
I love her so much. Okay, final advice for everyone. Let's start with you, Brianna, and then end up with Dr. Booker. Final advice.
Be yourself. And as I said before, just network with other people and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Very simple, but how about you, Dr. Booker? Can you give us words of encouragement You're amazing.
Know who you are. Follow your history, the strength that you are here because of other people. Find a mentor, someone that you can latch to, and because if you're not at a school like ours, there are people out there, churches, rec centers, anywhere. Find that person and stick to them like glue and learn and be who you are. You are all of us kings and queens of people of the past.
Oh, I love this. This is amazing. I love, Max said that he wants you to be on his show as well.
Okay.
I love her. This is amazing. Thank you so much to both of you. And then whoever is listening right now, if you can donate, Dr. Booker is making a big difference to all these children. You know, I will post it on our Instagram on how to get in touch with her, how you can donate. And Dr. Booker, thank you so much.
This is so exciting. I hope we also will stay in contact again. Yes. And then believe me, you will know which child you helped because they will also send you a thank you when we begin the track.
I loved it. Really? Oh my gosh, I love that. I want to send someone to school. I want to do that. Yeah, on a journey. Thank you so much. And thank you, Brianna. Thank you for sharing your experience. Thank you so much. This is such an inspiring show. Thank you. I truly appreciate you guys. And I hope everyone, ladies, I hope you got inspired from our show. And I hope you not only got inspired and encouraged, but got educated. That's the most important, the most important. And thank you. Yeah, knowledge is power. So thank you so much for educating me for someone who is not from here. Truly, truly appreciate it. So for our tip for the day, a celebration of Black history is an important reminder of Black excellence and the contributions that Black people have made to not only the United States, but also around the world. I encourage you to take the time to learn something new about Black leaders, inventors, artists, writers, or trailblazers, and to share that to others as well. Remember, here on the Polished Woman Show, we always give love. So please don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. Thank you so much, Dr. Booker. Thank you so much, Brianna, for coming to our show. Yay. Thank you. I see you, I hear you, and you matter. So yeah, I'll give... Oh, don't forget, next Monday, we are live. Stay tuned to The Polished Woman. Love you.
Through faith.